Welcome to the CodeCast Podcast. Real-world insights for your daily medical coding and billing processes. And now, here's your host, Terry Fletcher.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 25 of the CodeCast Podcast today. Today, our topic is about payer contract negotiations. And I really like this topic. I've had a couple of requests for this topic over Twitter and also a lot of different social media. I've actually been talking to some physicians about it. And so I think we really want to just talk about how to negotiate, what you're looking for to about your negotiation. And also I'm going to give you some tips on those negotiations, which really can help you when you're talking to the payers. And I also want to shout out to our female physicians, because what I have also found, and I'm getting this from a lot of feedback, is that a lot of times the payers want to deal with male physicians over female physicians. And I'm not saying that in a negative any way, or any of the male physicians that are listening into the podcast, because we appreciate both sides of the spectrum on the physicians and their input. But I just want to say sometimes there is that inequality when it comes to negotiating these contracts. And so hopefully some of this information will not only help you and assist you in your contract negotiation skills, but also hopefully there'll be blindness when it comes to gender when dealing with the payers. But before we get started, let's thank our sponsoring partners, AdvancedMD, spotlighting telemedicine as a solution that's proven to boost patient engagement and bring in new revenue streams for your practice, advancedmd.com. And Better Living. Since 2002, Better Living has been the premier digital lifestyle brand dedicated to travel, food, health, home, and more on betterliving.com. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. And a couple of things I want to do before, you know, I really get into this, before I, you know, really review and begin to discuss the best tips for negotiation, I want to define exactly what the term negotiation means. So the dictionary defines negotiation as a formal discussion between people who are trying to reach an agreement, an act of negotiating. So negotiation also involves each party trying to gain an advantage by the end of the process. So we want to take a look at the roles physicians might play in negotiating. And one thing to notice is the difference in your negotiations over the same issue to receive almost the same result. So we have to be clear on some of those things that we're dealing with. Very few situations exist where you can't negotiate. So that's the first thing you want to know. The key is always to maintain control, physical and emotional, during the process, because the other party will realize a weakness, and that's where your strength diminishes. Think about the best poker player. They sense the weaknesses of others and they take advantage of it. And chances are you've worked very hard for your money, so it is your right to ask for better price, more benefits, a discount on certain things, but they're also going to ask for that as well. But your business is extremely valuable. And just one little secret when you're dealing with the payers: most payers want you to negotiate. So they're happy to, you know, talk to you through the process, as long as they know that they're also getting something back in return. And that's where we have to kind of go and lead into the process. So whether you're a novice or a seasoned negotiator, payer contracts can be complicated and very difficult to interpret, even with an attorney or even a consultant as myself by your side. But hopefully, because I've been very successful in the process, that I'm going to give you some points to always keep in mind during debates with payers. Well, I meant negotiation. Did I say debates? I was thinking out loud. So anyway, let's talk about this. So first of all, number one is it's business, not personal. Many practitioners, many providers, many physicians take the process so personally. And I understand that because it's your livelihood. But the truth is, it's all part of doing business. So if you make it not personal, then you'll be much better equipped to go into the meeting or go into the discussion with the payer. Think about it as, for those of you who watch pro sports, you know, think about it as a negotiation with a professional athlete and their team. The fans get upset because the athlete is, they're thinking they're not loyal. And then on the flip side, they're saying that the team or the organization isn't loyal to the player, but it's just a business. Once the player kind of loses its value, or his or her value to them, then at that point, now you're negotiating, what can you do for me now? And that's really what you're looking at here. It's very similar. So it's a business, not personal. Number two is really know the rules of engagement. So who is going to be accessing you through the contract? So are they going to, you know, help with referring patients to you? And that's what you want to know. Is it just through an employer? Is it a self-insured plan? Is it a fully insured plan so anybody can go and buy the policy, or is the plan only something they can get through a certain employer? Is this a leased network? Will there be, for example, if it's a Blue Cross plan, but is it also through an Anthem IPA? So, you know, is it a managed care plan that also is tied to an insurance company? And will each of those entities have its own rules of engagement? So you need to make sure you're aware of every single step of that that process. Number three is, what can your practice, what can they live with and what can you live without? So you're not going to get everything you want, so know that up front, but that's what a negotiation is. And in the end, you will have to compromise on some things, but what are you willing to compromise on? So you want to make sure that you get paid the Medicare rates, at least. You want to make sure that they're not going to discount you for multiple let's say diagnostics on the same day, like a lot of payers and different providers do, and different contracts do. So there's certain things that you just want to make sure that you can negotiate, but you're willing to live with, or I can live with that, or I can't live with that. Make sure you're making a list of these things before you go into the discussion. And number four is really important. Are you willing to walk away? Know before you go in which procedures or terms that, if not met, will cause you to walk away from the table. Know which ones you're going to use as concessions to get what you really want. And I say that to some physicians who are very frustrated with the process, where they tell me basically, well, I don't want that, and this payer is frustrating me. And so then we look at their population of patients with that payer, and I say, you know, you've got a 25% population with this payer. Do you really think they want you to walk away any more than you want to walk away? Because if you're not a provider for them, those patients have to look elsewhere, and that's going to be bad for them. And so you have to be willing to walk away if they're not willing to meet you halfway, or at least look at the options when it comes to your goals. And so those are things that you have to really understand. One of the number five is, read everything. This is one of the biggest contract areas that you really have to understand. And it's, read the contract very carefully for terms and clauses that are one-sided, such as amendment provisions or definition of medical necessity. That's a big one. And come to that decision together. Rate changes. Can they just change a rate based on, cost of living, or they call it a cost of living increase, the COLA algorithm, or is it something that you have to sign off on? Timely filing provisions, prevailing contract, and termination. So what is the termination language in there as well? And don't be afraid to ask questions or insist on answers. Once the negotiation process is over, it's really too late at that point for you to ask any questions or to negotiate anything. So your patients have no trouble letting you know what they can't afford or what certain procedures they want a better deal on. So why can't you also negotiate your payer rates? So remember, the worst anybody can say is no. And so you always want to be in the driver's seat when it comes to understanding the process and making sure that you're reading everything. Number six is, state laws apply. So be aware of your state laws and how they affect the way insurers do business. So for example, be aware of, I mentioned timely filing provisions, but also timely payment rules and take back rules. And not just take back rules for that payer, but also, do they contract with an outside entity or an outside third party that can come back on you 10 years later and say, oh, that patient really wasn't insured, we're going to take money back. That should absolutely not be appropriate or not be allowed, and make sure you have that within your language. But know the rules for submitting claims, and that's the timely filing. I know some payers are out there saying 90 days. Some say it's up to a year, but I've even heard 30 days. And then if you don't submit it within 30 days, then it's considered late filing, and they can take percentage of your money. When they take a percentage of your money on payment, that's a problem. Or they can deny your claim altogether as being payable, or penalize you. And if you are under that late filing, what happens a lot of times, they'll say you can't even go back to the patient. Where I find this being an issue are those physicians that don't dictate or don't give you documentation in a timely fashion. And that's where that can be an issue. Because somebody says, well, do you have any documentation that talks about, you know, how long the doctor has to dictate before we can, you know, we'd say that we're not going to accept it? I said, well, you have to look at something from a payer perspective. First of all, you can't bill or report for anything that you can't support. And the doctor didn't document or dictate a service, then how can you bill for it? So this is where you've got to make sure your physicians are on the same page with that and understand that, you know, delays in documentation and dictating and all that delay their claim, and it could mean denials. Number 7 talks about beware of contract terms. So many payers want to sign providers to a long-term 3 or more year contract. But does your contract have built-in increases to keep pace with inflation or other considerations? Or, you know, can they add those things in just at random? That actually happens to me, and I actually ran into that recently with a client of mine who I've been, there've been a client of mine for about 10 years. And this is not a bad thing. This is just something I've learned in my contract negotiations as well. And they said, you know, we want to retain you for a 3-year contract. Here's the statement of works. Here's what we're looking at. And I said, okay, great. But they wanted to lock in my fees. And I said, okay, that's fine. But if you're going to lock in my fees, then here's my expectation of work. So the only reason I would lock in my fees from, you know, 2014 all the way to 2018 would be if I'm getting the volume of work to make up the fact that I'm not going to increase my rates. And so that's something you have to be aware of when you talk about the payers. So you're more than welcome or more than, you know, willing to lock in that 3-year clause or the contract for 2 to 4 years, whatever, but make sure you've got that built in increases to keep up with inflation otherwise and overhead. Otherwise it really doesn't make sense to do that. Make sure your rates are clear. If the rates are based on proprietary fee schedule, then you need to know what that is before signing. I had a practice recently say, hey, Terry, can you look at this claim? We only got paid, we got paid 20% less of what Medicare fee schedule is, and we don't think that's fair, so we want to go back to appeal. I said, well, I hate to explain this to you or tell you this, but at this point, you have no negotiating power because you already have the contract in place. You're already a provider. You've already billed it, meaning that you're accepting what this payer is saying. So unless you negotiated this before, you need to know what that is before signing. If the rates are based on the Medicare fee schedule, ask, is it the current or prevailing rate or another year? If it's the current prevailing rate, what will you do if the rates drop significantly? You know, we have a very volatile political climate right now with healthcare. So you need to understand that. And are there multiple plans under this payer? And do you have the fee schedules for all of them? So you may have one payer, let's say you're part of United Healthcare. Well, United Healthcare has different branches of different payers under them. And same with Blue Cross Blue Shield, same with a lot of the different managed care plans. And so does this go straight across with all those plans? Or is it something that can be negotiated? Or is it, again, a proprietary fee schedule, meaning that's something they've created on what they feel is appropriate on the work value? So those are some things that you really want to keep in mind as you are really looking at your negotiating options there. I would start with the Medicare fee schedule and go up from there because that should be your lowest fee in the office. I wouldn't go any lower than that. And the number 9 is know what isn't covered. Be clear on what the contract is not covering as much as what it is covering. So procedure codes that are not covered, and do it by code. And then procedures with very low reimbursements, or if do they require you to use a specific outside vendor? Find out if you are, for example, an orthopedic practice. Can I use my own ASC, my ambulatory surgery center? And is there any kind of stark rules or anything I need to be aware of? Or do I have to send the patient to the hospital? So those kinds of things when you're negotiating is going to be important as well. If you are a cardiology practice and you're in a state that allows for a physician to own their own cath lab, and not all states do, then at that point, you know, can we refer patients just directly to our own facility, or do we have to send them up at the hospital? But those kinds of things are going to be part of your negotiating process, and you just don't want to leave those things on the table. You know, healthcare contracts are legal documents and they need to be reviewed very carefully. And when you're negotiating, first of all, you really need to figure out a cost analysis. And this should be performed in an organized way to establish a dollar value on tangible and intangible items. So you need to have a clear understanding of business principles, current market trends, and the cost of delivering quality healthcare for your practice. You know, a lot of payers I've noticed, they'll say, this is what we're paying in your market, take it or leave it. And you know, you really must understand that terms and contracts are not immutable, meaning that you have to create and demonstrate value in terms of data, quality of care, cost, effective long-term goals, and the benefit of that, how it benefits the team as a whole. Even if you are a practice that's run efficiently with low overhead, if the payer contracts are not properly negotiated or worded, it can be a loss in revenue for your practice. One of the biggest things that I would do is I would make sure that there's a provision for telemedicine. I did a telemedicine podcast and I've done 4 webinars on this already with materials you get. Just so you know, just a side note, the difference between a podcast and a webinar, a podcast is having a discussion with you about topics I think that are important for you to really think about. They're thought-provoking, and it's really industry trends that I didn't know if you're really aware of, but just to give you some insight there. And then hopefully at some point you'll say, you know, I need to know more about this. I need to be educated on this topic. So let me go take a webinar. And then that comes with, you know, that's an hour long, and that comes with materials and references and, you know, links to websites so that you have that now tangible evidence for you. So just kind of know where I was going with that, just so you know the difference there. But just talking about, you know, back to the contracting, there is a benefit in numbers. So the larger the organization, the greater the leverage you have. When you're looking at some of these analysis and looking at the strength and weaknesses and opportunities and threats to a practice, it's called the SWOT analysis. You know, internal strengths can be analyzed by reviewing. So the number of new patients enrolled in the plan, utilization of revenue, and expenses with quality measurements, patient satisfaction reports, those are a big deal. Benchmarking quality and efficiency and how patients respond to what you offer. And that's why I mentioned telemedicine. Giving patients options is a big deal for a payer. And payers nowadays, it's almost like they don't care about the treatment, they just care about the patient satisfaction, because everything is social media and comments, and we just really have an oversensitive society at this point that feels that they need to complain or comment on every service that they have. And so when you provide a service within the market, especially anything that could be unique or new in the current market, and with networking with peers at state and national levels, it's something that you want to include as part of your negotiating processes. When you look at weaknesses, you need to analyze your fee schedule and what percentage of your current fee schedule, again, can you live with? You know, if you're dealing with current Medicare fee schedule. So to look at rates and overcome payment inequities, you can create a utilization report to look and capture and review data. It's basically a spreadsheet to determine the frequency of a certain CPT code, the number of times it was billed to that payer. You multiply that by the current payment amount to determine basically a break-even point. And then this is done by adding overhead and physician compensation by total frequency of all codes for that payer. So the results are what we call a weighted average cost. And then you compare the weighted average cost to weighted average reimbursement. So when you look at that, and let me just kind of explain that again. So basically, how you look at rates and overcome payment inequalities and equities, basically you're looking at it from a utilization versus what you take in versus what goes out. So if you use the spreadsheet format, determine the frequency of a CPT code, so that's the current procedural terminology code, the number of times it was billed to that payer, then multiply that by the current payment amount, determine the break-even point, and then this is done by adding overhead and the physician compensation by total frequency of all codes for that payer. The results basically then come to a weighted average cost, and then you compare that weighted average cost to the weighted average reimbursement. Okay, so those are the things that you want to take a look at. I actually am going to create a webinar on this, and I'll give you a spreadsheet and show you how to do it. I just want to give you some mindful thought on how to look at it. And then threats on a contract are when contract start and end dates are not monitored. So you need to know how much notice is required to make any changes. And it may be advisable to start discussions with a payer representative maybe 150 days before a contract ends. And right there, you're looking at 6 months. So it helps tremendously when the communication is channeled through one individual from the health plan, where they also have a business relationship with the individual that also built, you know, had the negotiation skills there. In preparation for negotiations, you need to set a bargaining range that includes optimum and minimal target goals. And I think I mentioned this before, what are you willing to, you know, walk away from? The optimum goal is where the term is ideal, and the minimum goal is where it has to be met. That's your target. That's where you have to be there. And the target point is where you would like to be at the end of the negotiation. So it's really about, you know, what you have to have and making sure that, you know, that is absolutely there. I would advise that you have some kind of a face-to-face meet with the payer representative and a present clear data and request for change, and listen to what the representative has to say. The person who has the most experience with complex negotiations within your practice should do that. Or, you know, you might even want to hire a consultant to do that. That is something that we provide, just putting it out there, because sometimes you just don't have that personnel to do that. And it's hard sometimes for a physician to get involved in this. Only because, and I appreciate what you bring to the table as far as your passion for the work that you do, but sometimes it's very emotional, especially when you talk about medical necessity. But let's say that the payer's concern is with high use of ancillary services. It would help to point out how effectively you manage the use of these services, and then show that cost control and forecast the predictable costs for that. And if you show, you know, the practice data that shows compliance and improved outcomes, then you're giving more data information than you are an emotional response to why something has to be done. It's more, well, when we do this, this is how we get, you know, better outcomes for the patients. You know, talk about smoking cessation, advanced care planning, you know, some of those revenue issues that sometimes the payers don't want to pay for. Demonstrate some efficiencies that reduce that cost. And the goal of your business relationship is to provide cost-effective healthcare. If you use that term, cost-effective healthcare, you know, and show the payer of how many of their members avoided hospital readmissions, maybe because of the effective quality healthcare you provide. One of the podcasts I did recently was on the chronic care management and how important that is for a practice to embrace for patients who have chronic care issues. And it really helps to avoid some of those hospital readmissions because somebody is always there monitoring that patient. And so there's other items to negotiate in a contract, talking about prior authorization process, you know, kind of making that a little bit easier than it has been. Talk about the appeals process. I know everybody now talks about that as more of a revenue control opportunity. And then timely payment, obviously interest on late payments need to be clarified. But when you present this information, well-documented, organized data analysis, The payer may be able to recognize the value your practice brings to its members. And in turn, this will help increase the revenue you've generated, I would say anywhere from 3 to 10% in reimbursements. So payer contracts need to be carefully reviewed for their fee schedules, the provisions that can alter net value and revenue to the practice. And also making sure that if you're part of a larger corporation, you do have an advantage. But if you're a smaller physician, get somebody to help you. You know, make sure that you've got somebody in there that has your back, that's looking at this from a perspective of how can not only they help you get the contract you want, but also how can you help that payer recognize that you are a gem for them, that you are someone that they ultimately need to have underneath their umbrella. And at that point, it's all going to come into play and you're going to see that money there for you. And then again, keep in mind about that patient satisfaction. So keep a look at my website at terryfletcher.net. And we definitely will have a webinar on this and I'll give you some examples on how to really make sure that your negotiating process, your checklist, everything you need to come to the table with the payer will help you to be successful in your practice and make sure that you've got payer contracts, not only that you can set the standard, but that you can be proud of. And then hopefully your peers will realize that you mean business. So thank you again for listening in today. It's always awesome to have everybody here. And I just want to end with our final sponsor today, which is Prestige Billing, medical billing services and revenue cycle management company, exclusively for plastic and reconstructive surgeons, prestigeaccounts.com. And they're on the East Coast. So again, thank you today, and I'll talk to everyone soon. We'll see you on the next CodeCast podcast.
For more information on medical coding, billing, auditing, and compliance, including how to hire Terry, follow Terry on Twitter at TerryCoder1. Or visit her website at www.terryfletcher.net. Podcast producer Joe Kuzma. Music producer Dasassin Music.